Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Guess what the title of my sermon is today? Nothing New, okay? Nothing New. Do you know what my working title was? My working title was Behavioral Problems. How did I get from behavioral problems to nothing new? Well, we'll find out about it. Actually, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 sets the stage for us this morning. In verse 9, it says, "That which has been is what will be." Listen, life is simple. We'll revisit that in a moment, okay? Life is simple. Success is simple. It's very simple. What Jason just described to you was very simple, and it was in front of him. It was an opportunity, you know, waiting on him to take it, waiting on him to say yes, waiting on his behavior to change. You know, the problems that Jason had were behavioral problems. It was not that he didn't know what was right. You know, I can't imagine that I taught him much new. I can't imagine that I taught him something that he actually said, "Well, I don't think I've ever heard that before." You know, we kind of come to the game having been exposed to truth, and most likely two or three of your good friends, and perhaps even your parents or grandparents, have already told you what's wrong with you. Hello? If not, get married and they will help. It is not that we are lacking hearing what needs to be done in our lives, in the, you know, whether we are listening to a supervisor or a parent or a teacher. You know, it's not that we lack knowing what to do. It's often behavioral changes. But guess what? Nothing is new. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. While we ponder those thoughts and let them sink in for just a moment, let me, allow me, if you would, a minute to give you a recent missions update, okay? Specifically, the recent missions trip that I just got back from was gone for about 12 days or so to Nakuru, Kenya, East Africa, where we have been working now for a few years. I actually have been working there and through our church I sent my first support from a church I pastored, the first church that I started. I sent it in 1980. And the man I sent it to, we sat down and reminisced this week about all and how we got connected through another man that we both knew, who told him about me and told me about him, and how we have through the years now, since 1980, we have been in mutual support and sharing and loving and working this gospel message together. And so we returned home Friday evening from this recent mission trip to Kenya. And while we were there, I had the opportunity to preach in a church, and we saw a lot of people saved, and got to teach in several meetings. I got to meet in small groups with young men and with older men and with women and girls, and got to provide some discipleship training. And we also participated in feeding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, which we do every week, and big feedings every month. But we also got to make sure that we were providing food for some communities there that literally, water, for communities there that have no water. And we also accomplished several other goals. We made about 20 home visits for our sponsored children that we had not yet seen their home where they were living. As you know, we have about 200 sponsored children from our church that we sponsor every month, and we make home visits. We provide people there making home visits when we are not there each week, but we also know each one of these children. We get to know them and get to know their living situation and what they are needing, these types of things. We also started 5 small businesses while we were there. That was one of our goals, is not just to feed people, not just to give them water, not just to meet their needs, but to raise up a businessmen and women from that dump site, from the trash dump site. And so we invested in making 5 new businesses there, and we'll be doing a lot more. But we also upgraded our classrooms in our schools that we built the last 2 years there by putting solar TVs in them. They have no electricity there, so we put solar TVs and some charging stations in and got those done as well. All I can say is the trip was a great success. People got saved for the very first time, made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. I questioned each one of them that I could individually and asked them about their personal salvation and why it was they were getting saved. I want to make sure it's more than just a confession in some meeting where someone has an emotional moment. I want to make sure they understand what they are committing to and make sure that they know what their next step is. And I even told them, you know, even though not one of them had a job, Jason, guess what I told him? I said, listen, God is going to bless you, and when He does, I want you to make sure that you understand it's bread and it's seed. It is important that you tithe. It's important that you give offerings. It's important that you become a blessing, not to us, but to a local church there, and connecting them to a local church there. I found 7 men out of those men who got born again who really I felt like they had it. Maybe it was 8 men. I think it was 8 men I believe they really made a conscious decision. The oldest one was about 65, who had given his life to Jesus, and the youngest one probably in their 20s, and they ranged mostly in their 30s, and each one of them had a personal story and why they were there. And so when I talked to them about God's going to bless you, and you need to make sure that you participate with Him, I started leaving. I turned around and I wrestled for a little while. I went back over and I said, hey, if God were to bless you with, let's say, 1,000 Kenya shillings, which is about, $7 or so. If God were to bless you with 1,000 Kenya shillings, would you give Him an offering? Would you? And they all said, yes. I said, now listen, this is a serious thing, because God wants to change your life. God wants to get involved in your life. And the only way to get involved, God to get involved in your life, is for you to invite Him into a partnership with your life. You have to actually, take God into your life, because their situation can change if their behavior will change. And so each one of them said, yes, 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 I will. Of course, you know where I'm going. Before I left there, I circled back around and I said, well, here's your chance. And I gave each one of them 1,000 Kenya shillings, which again is about $7. I said, we'll see. God will see. Are you going to participate? Or are you going to, eat your seed? Or are you going to eat your bread and sow your seed? So at any rate, we had some very good interactions there. And I'm very thankful, overwhelmed at all the testimonies we heard and all that we have been doing and all the people are sharing. And thank you so much, church, and those of you who are participating here and around the world. We are making a great difference together, but that's what we're supposed to do. My overriding reason for going there was to secure a home for our new girls' home. Unfortunately, situations are very dire in the place that we feel like God wanted us to adopt there. We adopted a rather poor community. In the larger community, there's about 10,000 people that lives there in that area. But in this particular trash dump the poorest of the poor area there. We have about 250 families, something on that line. And it's very unfortunate. You know, it's been there since 1971. Many of you know about it. It's been on fire since 71. There's fourth and fifth generations being raised there. It's just a cycle. One of the reasons it is a cycle is because they become sexually active at about 8 or 9 years old. In fact, while we were there, there was a group of 8 and 9 year old kids that were being abused, and it's dark there. It's a garbage dump. We put up 17 lights last year, street lights, and 33 or 34 compound lights trying to cut down on the darkness that's there. And those were the first lights that have ever been installed there. And so we have 12-year-old girls with babies there. I know that sounds horrendous. And we cannot help everyone in the world. And we are not looking for the last one that has a need. We are looking for the next one that God puts on our plate. That's all we are doing. We're not looking for the last one. We're looking for the next one. Because if everyone will do what they are called to do, we believe that everything that God needs done will get done. And so when God puts someone on our plate, when God puts Port Arthur on our plate, then we reach out to Port Arthur. When God puts China on our plate, when He puts cowboys on our plate, whenever He, you know, whatever He puts on our plate, whether it is in India or in Indonesia, you know, one of our youth pastors was here. He was from Indonesia. I don't know. It's approaching 20 years since we sent him. He's still there. And every month that he's been there, he has gotten support from you. And he's continuing to reach out into jails and into prisons and into churches. He's making a big difference. Thank you, Johannes. May God bless you. But God put that on our plate. God put India on our plate. God, you know, we make a difference. God, you know, he put Bridge City on our plate. God put Vider on our plate. God put, you know, and you know, Groves on our plate, and you know, Beaumont on our plate. You know, 8060 East Texas Freeway, Church on the Rock North. Y'all remember? You know, we all went over there, and we had you know, Sunday mornings here. Well, we had three Sunday morning services here. We had a Sunday afternoon service there, had a Wednesday night service here, a Thursday night service there, and we all worked all that we could. Now that church reaches the world and doing all, you know, what God puts on our plate, we become responsible for. And we may not do everything perfect, but let me tell you, you are making a difference. When God put Giotto on our plate and in our heart, we decided to make a difference there. It's just a little bit from us, just a little bit, but it makes a big difference. But what we saw was that we did not want to just feed them. We wanted to give them the ability to get out of their situation, to move up. That's why we started the small businesses. That's why we are starting more. Time fails me to tell you of the things that we just taught. I held a small business meeting, and I wrote out a business principle, a business plan, startup plans for small business in that community that will work in that community. Simple things, okay? We found people that were already doing something, and we are helping them to make their plans to do it better and to do it more. It's just a drop in the bucket, but it makes a difference for them. But the overriding reason why I went this time was because God has put on our plate these young ladies who are at risk. They are at risk because the cycle is going to continue if we can't get in there and break that cycle. And some of our sponsored children, between the ages of 10 and 16, we have identified that we really do need, and their parents are all for it, and the community is so excited about it because they don't want to continue to see this cycle in that situation. And so everyone is all for it, but it still takes somebody organizing it, putting it together, doing it. So I went there. there to secure a place, to secure a home where we could begin our model home, and with house parents and with rules and security and all of the different things and food and all that stuff. And so just a place where these young girls that we sponsor would be safe from the abuse that so many are experiencing. And while I was there, the Lord opened up a door. It was the Lord. Opened up a door for us to lease a large 6-bedroom, I think it's 4-bathroom, home with a big fenced-in plot of ground with gate and a gatehouse, and it's got producing fruit trees and even a chicken house, and it's got room for goats. Isn't that pretty good? And a vegetable garden. All the things we're needing to start here. And interesting how God comes full circle. This happens to be a home that we helped to build, and we started it in about 1999 from our church, helping build this home there. We finished it in 2002, and it's been a home for ministers and ministers' families and those kinds of things. And while I was there, the person that owns that home, who is Reverend Dr. Musa Njuguna, he contacted me, and, you're needing a home? Hey, look, just give me whatever you want. Stay as long as you want. I said, no. We got to make this business. You know, he said, well, you helped us put this together. He and I have been partners. He's the guy that I sent my first support to in 1980. He said, I know what you're doing with it. Just give me whatever you want. Stay as long as you want. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm too old to do that. You won't always be dealing with me. And I won't be dealing with you. You're 82 years old. I'll be 70 this year. We got to build something to last beyond our lifetime, bud. I love you. But call your attorneys and let's draw this thing up. Dean, I need you to look over this, by the way, when I get finished. Okay. I've already signed it, though. That happens, you know. I should have just flown you over there with me. So we called attorneys, and we put a 40-year lease on that piece of property. For 40,000 Kenya shillings a month, which is about today's rates, about $270 a month. Yeah. Whew. Listen, we built a nice house. You know, we're going to repair it. It's worth so much more than that. So much more. And we're going to need to have some beds built, and we're going to need to put in some, appliances. And, we take possession on May the 1st, and we're going to, have to get sheets and covers, and all the things it takes to move these girls in and stuff. And when our team comes back in July, we will have it all ready because our team will finish it up, Brandon. Thank you. Brandon is our construction maniac. Manager, I'm sorry. We'll got a few little repairs we're going to do. We're going to, freshen everything up, make it all nice, and start our girls' home there. And by the way, we can terminate whenever we want to, but we cannot be terminated, Dean. It was really a good thing working with those guys. I wish you had been there. I would have felt so much better. Dean is our church attorney, if you're wondering why I'm referring to him. I'm just so excited what the Lord, how the Lord comes full circle. That all these years ago, the Lord knew whenever we were supporting, whenever we were helping, when we were sowing, when we have provided for so many other, that here, all these years later, God knew in 1980, whenever I sent that first little support And he and I reminisced about it, you know. God knew what he was going to do in years to come, and in years beyond my lifetime, and years beyond his lifetime. God knew how he was going to provide for needs and bring the children that he loves and bring those that he's protecting. And those, you know, not only are we seeing people born again, but lives are being changed there. And, you know, we're going to need a few, a few beds and stuff, which are nominal. We even buy a goat or two, and we need some chickens and some seeds, you know. But that's just going to be so absolutely easy. And I'll be happy to share more details with anyone who would like to know. But I just want to thank you so much. Again, we don't consider ourselves here any more important than anybody else, because we aren't. We are blessed, especially in Southeast Texas, with in our communities was about 330 plus churches that are doing as much as we are. They are reaching out. We are a blessing to the world. The United States of America is a blessing to the world. We're about 5% of the population, but we reach out and do most of the humanitarian relief all over the world, as we should, because God has put it on our plate. To whom much is given, much is required, and we have so very, very much. And it's important that we participate with God. By the way, do you know that today is National Anthem Day? Do y'all know that? On March the 3rd, 1931, Congress made this day National Anthem Day and adopted the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem. Isn't that interesting? It was first written in 1814. It was during the War of 1812. In 1814, you may remember Francis Scott Key. He was on the ship, you know, being held by the British, and they were, detained by the British, and they were bombing Fort McHenry in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, he got up and saw the sunrise, and the flag was still up there. You know, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars into the perilous night. Or the Rampart, y'all remember. But you may not know there are four verses to that song, not just the one that we sing or try to sing. People butcher at ball games because it has like 19 different changes, literally. And it's sang in a soprano part. It makes it very hard to sing. It was a poem that the Navy adopted in 1889, but it wasn't until 1931 that America decided this would be our Star-Spangled Banner. But one of the reasons I think that we don't sing all the other words is because it's so hard to sing. But let me show you the last stanza on the fourth verse of this. April, would you bring it up? Look. It says, "Praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust." You know, four times our national anthem, March the 3rd, National Anthem Day, four times it mentions just how much we depend on Almighty God as a nation. That's why I believe that this was chosen, is because the sentiment of our nation is still thanksgiving to God. In God we trust. Whether it's written on our money or whether it's the national part of the national anthem, we trust God. And I pray that God continues to bless America. But we don't consider ourselves better than anyone else. We don't consider ourselves to be enough to meet every need, and we'll never be able to solve all the world's problems. But in reality, as I said earlier, we aren't looking for the last one that needs help. We are looking for the next one that God puts on our plate or in front of us. I pray that you would do that as you go out today, that you would look for the next one that God would give you an opportunity to encourage, the next one that he would give you an opportunity to pray for, the next one that he would give you an opportunity to make a difference in their life, to witness to. We can't help everyone, but hopefully we can help the next one. Well, in addition to securing that home, I taught a business startup. I invited five people that we had identified who were good investments, who we felt like would do something and help their community. I invited them to come last Monday morning, and five of them into our classroom. I had handouts, and I'd put together this business model that will fit in their world, what they needed to do, and how we were going to invest, and how they needed, what they needed to do, and to tell them that we are not your partners, okay? We are not your providers. You get one chance. This is one-time help. If you do these things, you will succeed. If you don't do these things, you will fail. And then we went through each one of them and helped them individually to get what they needed and to literally increase or to begin their business. You know, for one man, for example, he's been a part of us there and helping us for so long. He's a single parent of a young girl that's in our sponsorship, and he's really a good dad and helps take care of him, her so well. And you just know him there. His name's Paul, and one of the council members. And you know, his desire to start a business was to cook chickens on a little charcoal grill that he's got, outside his little 9x9 home with a dirt floor, and to cook chickens and then to cut them up in pieces and to carry them around in that community and to sell them each day. I said, okay. So, we got in and working in the details with them. Well, how many chickens can you cook? How many chickens can you sell? What do you buy chicken ready to cook for? What do you sell it for? Working in it. Okay, how many can you do each day? I can do 3 chickens each day. That's right. And the chickens cost 500 shillings each. And so that's 1,500 shillings, which is, again, about, what is that, $11 or $12 or so. So he sells them, cuts them up in pieces, cooks them, sells them, cuts them. And, we talked about making sure that he puts special spices on them. Don't let anybody know what you put on them, but you got to make them taste good. And we're needing repeat business, and we're going to grow this thing, And so you put salt and pepper on there, but there's got to be something, Paul, that you put on there that people know that this chicken is Paul's chicken. It's Paul's famous chicken. We're building them up. We're giving them good, advertising, marketing advice, all that good stuff. And you cook it, and then you cut it up and you go around and sell it. And then what you sell it for, he can sell that one chicken. He buys it for $500. He can sell it for $700. Okay, and so he makes $200 per chicken, and he can do 3 each day. That's his goal. Makes $200. That's $600 he makes each day. That's right at $4 a day that he makes for cooking the chickens. But when he sells it for $700, he'll end up with $2,100 in his hand. Now, this is a new concept. You're going to sell 3 chickens for $700. You're going to end up with $2,100. That $1,500 has to buy more chickens. You can't spend the $1,500. Oh. Because if you do, you'll be out of business in 3 days because I'm only buying you 10 chickens. And the store, the people are selling it, are holding the chickens that he can't cook. I said, you'll start with 3, and then immediately when you've sold those 3, you walk down there and you buy 3 more chickens. And then the other, what you have left over, the 600 you have left over, you give a tithe, 60, because you need God as a partner. You give that to a local church. You have a local church. If you don't have a local church, you give it to that pastor, and that pastor will take it to a local church. Okay? And then you eat the rest of it. It's bread and seed. So, we went over and over and over it until they got it. Everyone was the same way. And they just got it. They just got it, So not only did you buy him 10 chickens, okay, which cost you, I think it cost you $34. Thank you, by the way. I took money out of what you'd already given. And all of this, by the way, everything I'm talking about is things that we were able to do, okay? And then I bought him 10 more live chickens, layers. They cost full-grown layers $1,000 a piece, which is about $7 or so, something on that line. And he has a place to put them so he can start selling eggs as he's going around. And then, you know, I said after 3 or 4 days and you selling those 3 chickens that you're carrying them around, you're going to have to cook 4 chickens. Then you're going to have to cook 5. Then you're going to have to cook 6. Then you're going to have to get somebody to carry those chickens around and sell them for you, because you're going to be at home cooking chickens for a half day, you know, and you're going to sell 10. And you're going. But every time you got to take this and you got to take it down and buy more chickens. And you got, you know, all these things sound so simple to us, but they aren't to a world that has never imagined, you know, what it takes to make it. I'm so excited about this. And I taught them several business principles, but let me tell you the 5 principles of life. I added each one of them. The first one is that I told them success is simple, but it's not easy. Success is simple. Jason told us, it's simple. It really is simple, but it's not easy. Don't mistake simple for easy. Success is hard. In fact, it's very hard. The second thing I told them to add to the business plan that I had given them was that what you do with the little you have is what you will do with more. That is the truth. What you do with the little you have is exactly what you will do with more. And you're not going to change God's mind about this. Okay? Jesus said, if you're faithful over little, you'll be faithful over more. If you're unfaithful over little, you'll be unfaithful over more. You're not going to change God's mind about faithfulness. What you are doing with what you have is exactly what you will do with more. Many people imagine, well, I've got to wait until I have enough before I can begin to be a blessing to others. That will not work. I've got to have enough to eat before I can sow my seed. No, you eat your bread. But listen, you have to realize that what you do right now today, what you do with what you have is exactly what you will do with more. That's the truth. God will provide increase when you're faithful over the little that you have. That is His promise. That's taking God on as a partner. The third thing I told him is that God will give you bread to eat and He will give you seed to sow. All these things are firmly rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will give you bread to eat and seed to sow. Every blessing that you receive, every paycheck that you receive, everything that God gives you is both bread and seed. That's by God's design. It has seed in itself that will reproduce after its kind. One of the first laws that God has established in the earth. God will give you bread to eat and seed to sow. Don't eat your seed. Okay? Rule number one, don't eat your seed. If you do, you'll run out of chickens in 3 days. It's just the way it works. Success is simple, but it's hard. It is hard for someone who does not have enough to imagine blessing others with something you have. It is difficult to find a place to start living a life that is pleasing to God. It is difficult. Success is simple, but it's not easy. It is hard to love your enemies. It is hard to forgive your neighbors. It is hard to put God number one in your life. It's not easy, but success is very simple. If you want to share something, share your bread, but don't waste your seed. Make God your partner and you'll do well. Protect your reinvestment. Protecting reinvestment is critical. It is critical that you eat well, that you sleep well, that you rest well. It is critical that you protect your abilities to continue serving the Lord. It's critical that you protect your attitude, that you protect your mind, that you not let other people speak trash into your mind. It's critical to your family that you not let other people, you know, get in and begin to divide. It's critical to America that we don't allow people to sow seeds of division and disunity and distrust in our minds so that we begin to believe the propaganda of the devil. The devil cannot win, and he cannot divide us unless he can find someone that will believe him and someone that will work with him. Decide that you're going to protect your ability to love your enemies and do good to those who might persecute you and spitefully use you. You know, protect yourself and protect the reinvestment that you need. Protect your sleep time. Protect your rest time. Protect your family time. Protect those things that are critical. Protect those things that are necessary. Protect your prayer time. You know, reinvest in your life. Don't think that coming to church today is going to last you for a month. Protect your coming to church time. Protect your worship time. Protect those things. Make them valuable. Listen, success is simple, but it is not easy. Number four, I told him, you must learn to say no to yourself and to say no to others. If you cannot say no to yourself and say no to others, you're going to fail. It's a behavioral problem. If you need to know more information about that, ask Pastor Luke Bourgeois. He can really help you with that. Saying no to yourself. You have to learn. We have to learn. No is a reasonable answer. If we end up unable or unwilling to say no to ourselves or to say no to others, then you will fail. That's the reason I told that man with the chickens that you cannot afford to give someone a piece of chicken on credit. I'm sorry, but that's not at where you are. You will fail if you can't say no. That was one of the hardest things for them to embrace, is because everyone is going to ask. Everyone is going to ask for a free piece of chicken. Why? Because he's got a bunch of pieces of chicken. No, he doesn't. That belongs to the business. And the business will die if the business doesn't eat. It's a baby. This is not rocket science. But it's not easy. Are y'all with me on this? These are real concepts. Success is simple, but it's not easy. And if you cannot say no when necessary, you will fail. Number five, the fifth principle of life that I told him is that your behavior will dictate your success. That's true in anything. God gives you bread to eat and seed to sow. Your behavior will dictate your success. What you do with the little you have is what you will do with more when you get it. Your behavior will dictate your success. You must learn to say no to yourself and others. Your behavior will dictate your success. Success is simple, but it's hard. Where do we get these things? Well, one of the first lessons God taught us in Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 6. You remember the subtle serpent, the sneaky snake? You know, he never asked Eve to eat of the fruit. Never. He just introduced to her an opportunity, a potential consideration. And he left it to her. Why? Because of human nature. And here's what happened. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. First problem known to mankind. This was the very first problem, was a simple behavioral problem. Okay? Even in a perfect world, like the Garden of Eden, even without sin, even in sinless man governing all of God's creation in a perfect world, guess what happened? Eve could not say no to herself, and Adam could not say no to Eve. If she could have said no and would have said no to herself, or if he would have said no to her. And it wasn't that they didn't know what was right. It was they saw something they wanted, and they couldn't say no. They saw something that they thought I can't say no to that. Believe me, there's nothing new under the sun. Success in almost any endeavor, whether in business or marriage or family or school or spiritual matters, it's simple. Success in life is simple, but it is not easy. You know, just look at the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. Read them sometime. 80% of those are no. Okay? There's only two encouragements to do something. The rest of them are no's. Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, and don't do that, don't do that. 80%, 8 out of 10 are no's. Say no to yourself when you want to tell a fib or gossip about a neighbor. Say no to yourself whenever you see somebody and want to jump in bed with them and you're not married to them. Say no to yourself. Say no to others. Don't go wanting what other people have. And don't make any gods before me. No, 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 no. I tell you what, here's what I want you to do. I want you to honor your parents. And I want you to remember that my day is a holy day. Okay? Now, the rest of them are no's. It's life. If you haven't noticed, it's life. It's a lot of life. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be to find it. It's hard. Difficult is the way. It's simple. Just go in the gate. But it's narrow and it's difficult. Yeah, but it leads to life. Nothing new under the sun. Let me close with this by just saying success is simple. It's just hard. But guess what? Failure is harder still. It's really harder to fail than it is to succeed. Those of you who have failed know it's pretty difficult. It's pretty hard. It's pretty tough. And you probably worked almost as hard. You just, you know, worked at the wrong things. You worked at getting better at arguing. You worked at getting better at ducking. Hello? You stayed up at night trying to think of an argument. Instead of sleeping, you were up, you know, trying, you know, wrestling with your anger, your resentment, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your betrayal, your pain, your, you know, trying, you know, how can I get this and get that, you know. Let me tell you, failure's hard. Failure's tough on you. Success is simple. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. I know it's hard, but hell's harder. Amen. Living without Him is harder. Living with Him is pretty tough. Jesus said, guess what? They hated me first, they're going to hate you too. You shouldn't ever expect to be treated better than Jesus. Don't expect the world to treat you better than it treats Jesus. But He said, if they hated you, they hated me first. I'm not preaching a martyrdom complex here, okay? But I'm telling you that just because it looks hard, 70 disciples walked away from Jesus, 70 of His disciples in John chapter 6, because they said, that's hard. Yes, it was. Yeah. But I bet it was harder without Him. This world is tough. We're in this world to make a difference. We're not in this world so it can change us. We are in this world so that we can shine a light and help others. Well done, good and faithful servant. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you ministered to me. When, Lord? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked? When did we see you sick or in prison? Oh, inasmuch as you have done it to the least, you have done it to me. Wow. Enter in to the joy prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Good and famous. Oh, no. Good and faithful servant. We must decrease that He might increase. Amen. Today you can invite Jesus into your life. It's simple. Today you can ask Him to forgive you. It's simple. Today you can decide that you're not going to carry that grudge any farther. It's simple. But it's not easy. In fact, you need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. He'll speak to you in your nighttime. He'll encourage you when nobody else is around. Won't you invite Him in? And it's not just for the first-timers, by the way. It's not just, you know, one prayer and then go live your life. We need Him every day. Perhaps you're here on campus and you need Him in your life, in your marriage, in your business, more than you realized. Maybe these principles spoke to you. Maybe you're saying, gosh, I got to start saying no to myself. There's some other things in my life I need to say no to. Behavioral problems. There's nothing new. Let's invite Jesus in right now. Would you bow your head and consider God and pray with me if you would. Oh Lord Jesus, come into my heart fresh, into my mind. Cleanse my heart, my mind. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Teach me, Lord, how you want me to walk and live and think. God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending Him to save my soul and for sharing that truth with me. Make me a light shining to others. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the eternity you offer me. Lord, success is simple, but it's not easy. So help. Help us day by day. Send angels on assignment. Give us friends that encourage us in the right way. Teach us, lead us, and help us to shine our light of joy and peace and love and forgiveness to others. We ask this today. In your name, Jesus, thank you so much. And thank you for using us. Use us more. Provide our needs, Lord. Give us bread to eat and seed to sow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.